Hey, Jonathan Goodman here. I have super exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, that I've been talking about forever, is almost here. This is published by HarperCollins. The president of Shopify endorsed it. The editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine endorsed it. This thing is going to blow the roofs off, and I'm asking that you please pre-order your copy today on your local Amazon, wherever you buy books. It's available. It's called The Obvious Choice. Hope you pre-order it. Hope you love it. Nick, you are up, my friend. So, Nick, same thing, real quick, who you are, who you serve, and what are we talking about, which I think is going to be somewhat similar, but probably we'll attack it from a different angle.
Yeah. So I'm Nick. I help busy professionals lose 20, 25 pounds in 12 weeks. That's my tagline. Without giving up happy hour, carbs, those kinds of things. So it's really flexible dieting. It's helping people, once they get in the program, create a better relationship with food, better relationship with themselves, and then a byproduct and the scale too. Byproduct of that is of course weight loss and just more of the lifestyle approach. So that's who I help. I've been doing this for about 2.5 years online, 2 years full time now officially. And the biggest thing, like you said, and it's funny because even your intro like lined up exactly what I'm talking about, is yes, I could talk about leads, because that's such an easy conversation to talk about. And there's a lot of different directions on that, but more the it's more something now doing this for 2 years online. Like I've had a ton of success quick. And then now I'm just learning how to, lack of a better way to put it, create a better relationship with different seasons of it. Yeah. And I'm having I'm like an emotional roller coaster, whether it's a micro example is like a sales call that I think should have closed but didn't, and just it wraps me up. But a bigger thing and why this is even coming to the surface is this year, for some reason, even since January, it's been, I've had some good months and stuff, but it's like scratching. It just felt like it's been a lot more work than even like last summer, and there's a variety of reasons on that. But April was my worst month in 2 years, and it's just the mind warp of all of that is what I'm struggling with most. And so, yeah, we can talk about leads, but more than that, like
let's talk about recalibration. Let's talk about re-energizing a little bit, because we're not sick. The same. I mean, I'm not a numbers guy, Jason, to be able to tell you, but my guess is that April was probably the worst month that we've had in a very, very long time. And I mean, we're not the only ones that this is happening to. It doesn't make it any better. But there's something going on right now where it's just, there's so much fear and uncertainty. I remember when, I mean, this is a couple of years back, but I remember when COVID was really new, one of the things I said to our team was, there's only one time when people don't buy. People buy when they know they have money. People buy when they know they don't have money. The only time when people don't buy is if they don't know how much money they have. And where we're at right now is nobody has any idea what money is anymore, let alone how much they have or whether it's even worth anything. So let's talk about like recalibration, because I think that there's a lot of neat things that you can do here. And part of it is putting some more energy into what you're doing in ways that are like kind of fun. Part of it too is, can we bring back some creativity? Because the hardest thing about when sales are down or when there's sales calls that you think might close that don't, it's really easy to get down. And then that kind of just starts to spiral downwards a little bit. And when you can do things that are a little bit creative, you start to get your own juices flowing a little bit more and you start to have fun again. And that's what I have found is the best way to get myself out of any of these funks, which, like I said, they happen to everybody and they will happen again at some point in the future. And so, you know, playing with your topic, right? It's reasonably generalized. Like it kind of means something, it kind of doesn't mean that much. It can mean something different to a whole bunch of different people, which I think is fine. But the best way when you're doing any kind of content pieces or any kind of vision mapping for content and how you want to approach it strategically is to try to try to make something that 10 or even 5% of your audience are going to absolutely love. And everybody else, it won't really apply to. Like, maybe they'll be kind of interested in it, but it won't really apply to them. And so there are really fun ways for you to do that with your tagline. So tell me what it is again, just so everybody can get back on the same page.
Yeah, I help busy working professionals lose up to 25 pounds in 12 weeks without giving up carbs or happy hour.
Okay. Are there any, where you live, what's the name of like a fancy restaurant that a lot of your people go to? Like basically just like, where do rich businessmen go to?
Yeah. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Okay. And it's a local one. Yeah. I mean, we have Ruth's Chris too. So why not create a video specifically for Ruth's Chris? Will you look at their precise dietary, how much is in their steak, how much is in a drink, how much is in whatever? And you literally break down, you're like, here's how you can eat at Ruth's Chris twice a week and still lose whatever, a couple pounds. And what you're doing there is a few things. Number one is you're targeting people who are like, I go to Ruth's Chris. Like, you could say, how do you eat steak and drink beer and lose weight? Or you can say, how do you go to Ruth's Chris? Or even this specific Ruth's Chris and eat this meal and still lose whatever, 20 pounds or get shredded or whatever. Because then what you can do is then you can tag Ruth's Chris as well. And you can tag the local one in where you live, for example. And you bet your ass they're going to share it. And what you can even start to do, if you have any relationships with anybody at any of these places, is you could maybe even do collabs with some of these restaurants. That could be like your thing. Right. And so this is where the vision comes in really, really handy. And this is where saying, okay, with a piece of content, I'm not going to try to do too much. I'm going to try to attract 5%. You know, am I just looking at people who like to eat a hamburger from Five Guys? Like, you're not talking about how to eat hamburgers. You're like, a hamburger from this specific place or this exact beer from this craft microbrewery. And you just cycle those. You know what I'm saying? And you can just do it. It's like, there's this guy on Instagram. He's a TikToker, I think, actually. But he's also on Instagram because I don't have TikTok because I refuse to log into it. But his name is Papa Swolio. And he's got like a million followers. And literally every single video is him just saying, go to the fucking gym. Look him up. Over and over and over again in different ways. He just says, go to the fucking gym. It's like, it's not that complicated. So could your thing be, Ashley Papa Swolio? I don't know. Papa Swolio, things like that.
I've heard you talk about him in your podcast too.
I mean, it's so entertaining doing different languages. And like, it's super. He'll be like, hey, why'd the chicken cross the road? To go to the fucking gym, go to the fucking, like, it's just like, it's the stupidest, most ridiculous thing, but it shows you how simple this can be once you become kind of known for something. And so, you know, you could become like I always wonder whether there's an angle. It's like, I don't know exactly how you'd voice it, but hey, I'm the get shredded while eating at fancy restaurants for rich guys guy. And basically, I just tell you how to make sure you're shredded. I tell rich people how to make sure they're shredded when they eat at fancy restaurants. And that's just like your thing.
Yeah.
And there's consistency, right? You know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly how you're doing it. You know exactly how you script it. And then you're going to have these fancy restaurants reaching out to you, offering to pay you to feature them. And it's specific to you people.
Yeah.
That's what came to my mind the second that
you started talking.
I was like, oh, okay. I'm like writing down notes.
No, it's got my wheels turning. I'm just trying to think how I can message that. But I like, from a general standpoint, like you talked about, like getting creative and having fun with it. And kind of problem solving that way. But yeah, I mean, that is something that, not to go on a completely different tangent of niching, that's something that I felt like I haven't had to do like super closely, because I've just gotten a bunch of referrals and like it's very general. Right. And so even busy professionals, I mean, it's very general, right? So
and do busy professionals call themselves busy professionals?
Probably not.
Have you ever met a busy professional who was like, hi, nice to meet you, I am a busy professional?
right. Yeah, so I don't know if you have any ideas on like, yeah, I mean, because like targeting the affluent, wealthy, like how
to say, I like rich guy. I mean, it's like there's this big movement on Twitter towards anonymous accounts, and they, Jaden, that's funny. There's this big movement towards anonymous accounts on Twitter where there's like car dealership guy, mortgage guy, and they're anonymous Twitter accounts, but they're building huge followings really quick. And I'm not saying that you should be an anonymous account, but this idea behind like, can you become the guy for that? I think is really appealing. Like, can you become the guy for rich guys getting shredded while eating rich guy food?
Right.
Like, I don't know. That's pretty cool. I'm the guy for rich guys. I'm the guy that helps rich guys get shredded while they eat rich guy food.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you? Yeah. I know, it's very direct, and I feel like some people, yeah.
Some people would be like, oh my God, I hate rich guys. You're like, cool, like, that's fine. You don't need to be here. You can go to any of the other places on the internet. Right. As long as you like that.
Right.
I mean, if you don't like it, then that's a whole different conversation. But as long as you like that, and as long as it's your people, I mean, the nice thing about something like that, of course, is that rich guys like to do rich guy things, like to meet rich guys. Rich guys like to brag that they're rich guys often.
And they like to brag that they have a coach that they pay. And
yeah.
They're rich guys too. Yeah.
And especially, I mean, I think Ruth's Chris is a great example of a restaurant, because it's, I mean, we have them too. It's like the spot where freaking, I don't know, account executives and investment advisors and stuff like that all go like after work for drinks together. And I imagine they have big social media. But I mean, you know, it's worth looking throughout your town too at which restaurants are not just like your target population, but also have social media presence. And just kind of creating a list and like starting there and working down.
Yeah.
Because once you get known for this, it's great. Once you create a flow for this, it's great. But it's going to take a little bit of time to get known for it and make a flow for it, obviously.
Right.
But you can see, I mean, whenever I think about any of this, I think about, this is going to be like the nerdiest sounding thing ever, but I think about network nodes. Like, what nodes are there on a network? And can you purposefully create your content so that it is appealing to very, very select nodes on that network? Can you work backwards? Like, can you design your, not try to create content and then try to push it to people? Can you actually design your content beforehand, knowing which network nodes, like the Ruth's Chris Instagram account, for example, knowing which node on that network you want to appeal to? I mean, how many people are going out there and creating content of how to eat at their restaurant twice a week and still hit their fitness goals.
Right.
If I was a social media manager for that company, I would be ecstatic. And then you just message them once you post it and you say, hey, you know, not sure if you saw, like, message like their main account. I don't know. Let's look at this. Ruth's Chris, how many?
I'm writing some of this stuff down. Yeah.
Ruth's Chris. I mean, they only have 99,000 followers. So they're not too present considering how big that company is. But they still have 99,000 followers. They've got decent enough engagement. You know, they got 800,000 likes. It's all steaks or whatever, but message them after you put it out. Just message their Instagram account and be like, hey, do you want this video to post on your thing? You want to do it as a collab? Like, I can take mine down. We can repost it. Do it as a collab. you're basically going to this company and being like, I have created the perfect piece of promotional content for you.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's done. Would you like it?
Yeah, no, I like it. And I'm going to start looking around, because Ruth's Chris just came to my mind, but.
Do one on Ruth's Chris by the end of this week. I want to see it live.
Okay. Okay.
Don't even think. Don't start looking around. Don't.
Okay.
Just do one on Ruth's Chris before the end of this week.
Just like I'm thinking to put out a reel or something of explaining how to eat at Ruth's Chris and still.
Yeah. Look up how many calories and stuff like that are in, like,
yeah.
You could even call them, like, call Ruth's. Here's what you do. Call Ruth's Chris and you say, hey, I'd love to come there. I'm thinking of coming there with a couple guys next week. Can you tell me what your most popular steak is? Which is the steak that's ordered the most? Thank you so much. Hang up the phone. You say, I called Ruth's Chris. They told me that this was the most popular steak. Here's the breakdown. If you order potatoes, if you order the veggies, here's how many calories it has. Here's how you can eat Ruth's Chris most popular steak twice a week and still be shredded as a guy. Boom, 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 boom. Right?
Cool. I like it.
Cool. So, Bree, same type of thing. If you can just really, really quick, give me, like, kind of who you serve and what we're talking about today.
Okay. Well, my avatar is active women over 30, mostly fat loss oriented. I was kind of similar to Victor. I split my time. I don't have my own in-person training, but I still train in person 2 days a week. That is a different market. That is like active adults over 50 who,
okay,
like at a wealthy retirement golf community. My major struggle is time management. I also have 3 young kids. So finding time, like creating content, is not my jam. Even DMing is really not my jam. I've found some pretty decent success because I have worked around the area, and I just have, like, I've been in fitness for like 15 years now. So I just have a lot of contacts from group fitness and training over the years. But I'm not having a lot of success kind of expanding into the social media world of people who I've never met. And I kind of had an aha moment when you were talking to, I think it was Adam a few weeks ago, and you were talking about the untapped potential in our local markets.
Right.
So I've been trying to, I don't know, think of ways to try and take advantage of that, because I seem to have the most success with people who have some know, like, and trust factor with me already.
Yeah. I mean, just one thing you said that jumped out to me right at the beginning was you have 15 years of branding in your local market.
Mm-hmm.
Online, you have 0. And so that is one of the things that I fear is taken for granted a lot. Like, how much work you've done without knowing that you've been doing the work. Like, you've been building this reputation for so long. And I mean, the any time that anybody meets you and is somewhat tangentially interested in hiring you, and they ask somebody else who's influential or they trust, and they're like, yeah, I've heard of Bree. I know somebody who worked with her and had a great experience. Like, you're in. And the benefit of that is just, I can't describe it with enough words. Everybody talks about, like, oh, how do I market? How do I build a brand? How do I build a reputation online? It's like, well, you're comparing
15 years of experience doing that exact thing in this one place and starting brand new in another. And at the same time, you're basically saying you don't like creating content.
No, I don't.
So I think you answered your own question. And you answered your own question on the document too. So I had a bit of a cheat, but so what, I mean, you mentioned the golf course.
Yeah. I struggle a little bit because a lot of them have a lot of ailments. So, and some of them, I mean, some of them literally can't get off the floor unassisted. So like that's an in-person scenario for the most part. But I also live in a neighborhood full of my like online target market. So I've been considering like training out of my garage and doing little free classes or like boot camps or, you know, whatever classes in the park, this and that.
Yeah. I mean,
but there's money out of the golf course and they know me.
There's money in a golf course for sure.
Yeah.
there's definitely a lot of money in golf courses. I mean, what do you like what fires you up? Is it more working with people with ailments? Is it more working with, perhaps other parents?
I like working with people kind of near my own age who are like finding balance and like feeling strong in their own bodies, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's energetically, I can just see like, I don't know if anybody else can hear it, but I can hear the difference in your voice when you talk about the two audiences. And so there's a couple potentials here.
Hey, Jonathan Goodman, and I wanted to invite you to pre-order my next book called The Obvious Choice. This is my first traditionally published book. It's been published by HarperCollins. Sam Parr, if you listen to My First Million podcast, called it a much-needed recalibration for a business generation that's focused on the wrong thing at the wrong time. Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, said that if you want to win in business without feeling like you need to win the internet, you gotta get this book. So why pre-order it instead of getting it when it's ready? Well, there's two reasons, really. The first is that it's really, really beneficial for me, selfishly. It helps me a lot. My publishers love it. But the second beneficial for you is you actually lock in the best ever price. No joke, I pre-ordered a book that was $40 not too long ago. And because the price went down over the pre-order period for like a day to $29.99, when the book arrived to me on the day of the launch, I actually got refunded by Amazon $10. Because when you pre-order a book on Amazon, you lock in the lowest price ever. So if Amazon ever lowers the price, which they often do, you're gonna get that price and get refunded, whatever the difference is from when you pre-ordered it. So there's benefit to you, there's benefit to me. Please pre-order the book, The Obvious Choice, anywhere you buy books, but Amazon gives you this other benefit. Hope that you love it. Hope you're good.
If there's that business at the golf club, my first question to you would be like, Do you have to be the one fulfilling that? Or is there somebody else potentially that you can hire to work for you, that you trust, that you can kind of give some clients to? Or do you decide it's just not for you? You know, like if you're generating those customers, is there anybody else locally by you? Like if somebody came to you when you were coming up in the game and they were just like, hey, I've got this brand at this local golf club. We've got a lot of clients. I can't serve them. You know, they charge out at whatever they charge out at, whatever, 80 or 100 bucks an hour. Give me 25% of it. And, you know, you can have the client under my name.
Yeah, it's contracted through the club is the only thing. So yeah, I'm like, different. I'm a subcontractor.
That might be different then. So then, there's potential there, but I'd have to know more about the agreement. I mean, could the club subcontract your company?
Potentially.
Right, versus you, and then somebody else is just a representative of your company. Just means you would have to handle the administration versus somebody else handles it. But that's, you know, not hard to do. You know, like the billing and perhaps chasing after people for money. But if you're going to have to chase after anybody, chasing after them for money is a good thing to chase after them for.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, you talked about the neighborhood thing. And I think about that a lot because, I mean, my wife is in a similar situation. We have two young kids. And I just think about how easy it would be for her to build, if she wanted to get back into personal training ever, how easy it would be for her to build a clientele locally. I mean, even so much as she just like organized a group of women to work out in a garage.
Yes, I do that.
And they just invite others who invite others who invite others who invite others. Mm-hmm. Or every time you're at the park with your kids, like wear a shirt that says personal trainer. Like, it's just, it's so cringe, but like, oh, I was just in between clients and I took my kids to the park. It's like, doesn't matter if like your last client was yesterday and your next client is tomorrow, you're still in between clients. You know what I'm saying? And I just, God, I mean, if those are people you want to work with, like, is there anybody who's imagine if you were to see, let me put it this way. I'm thinking about my neighborhood, so I don't know how yours is organized, but you know, there's a few parks, there's obviously places, there's kind of common ways that people walk throughout the neighborhood to get to either the main street, or like there's kind of like the pilgrimage to the school every morning, right? Like everybody walks like the same couple paths, if that makes sense. And I'm wondering, you know, if somebody were to put up a sign that said something like, hey, my name's John. I live in this neighborhood. I've got 3 kids. And I'm working hard to balance all of them and fitness. I've been a trainer for 15 years. If this is something you also want to work with, give me a call. Like, just like, not a personal trainer, lose fat, gain weight. Like, could you... Could you do it kind of more as like an appeal from a neighbor? Like, hey, I'm one of you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm even going so far as like, I would just like type that up on Microsoft Word. And just, when advertising and marketing, it's funny because everybody tries to make their stuff
look good. Tape it on the mailboxes.
Just tape it on the mailboxes. Like, everybody tries to make their stuff look so good and be so polished. Meanwhile, it's like the janky ass stuff actually usually works better. Because it's more personal, it's more trusted. It's like, no, I'm one of you. I'm a neighbor here. And then of course, once you have these people and you can help them and you have that reputation, hey, you know, not sure if you knew this, but I also offer a lot of support online. So if you know anybody who's outside of the neighborhood, and then it's way easier to expand to online from people you're already serving. This is why, like, you know, Victor was a good example, right? Like people at your gym, members at your gym. It's way easier to expand online if you have a gym, if you have that type of thing, than it is if you're just randomly trying to attract people with social media. Because then somebody at the gym or somebody else you're working with in the neighborhood can be like, you know, this woman lives down the street from me. She's amazing. I see her all the day with her kids at the park. She's incredible with her kids. I don't know how she does it. She's fit, like I hate her, like she's fit, you know, she's got it all together. I mean, people, that's going to be a way, it seems to me like that's going to be a way smoother path for you. And like, I don't know, you tell me, does it feel almost more right, more human? Like
it does. It does. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like it's just tough online, but face to face with people has always been my jam. And like, I come from a group fitness background, so that would be an easy, you know, doing a group fitness thing in my garage and building from there would be huge.
Well, even, I mean, yeah, for sure. Is there like a local park that kind of all the kids play at and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And are there times, I'm thinking about with us, there are certain times of the day when basically the community, everybody who has kids just gathers at the park. And the parents largely, I mean, you know, we're tight with some of our neighbors and we're often talking, but the parents are usually just like kind of standing around. Maybe somebody has a book, people on their phones. Generally, the parents are like kind of bored, right? I always thought it would be really cool to say, hey, we're all sitting here because our stinking kids are maniacs from 5 to 6:30 every single night. and we got to get out of the house. I really love, talk about a charity or a foundation that you're really passionate about. And so, you know, I'm just going to host a volunteer, or I'm going to host a charity workout in the park while our kids are jumping on the thing. And, you know, volunteer donations, but $20 a head, and all of the money is going to go to the Humane Society or the Sick Kids Foundation or whatever you're most passionate about.
Sure.
And just like get the parents up and moving. Like, how cool is that? Right. And there's nothing, you don't need a permit or anything like that. I mean, you're not doing anything professionally. It's donation based. The trouble that I've always had with the garage is like a garage is still kind of personal.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard to be like, hey, come and like work out in my garage. I think it's easier for a female trainer than a male trainer to say that, but kind of come and work in the garage versus we're all at this park anyway. We're basically locked here because our kids are here. And you could try different things. I don't know what would be more successful, or maybe different ones. Like, hey, we're going to do a stretch. Hey, we're going to do a yoga mindfulness session. Or hey, we're going to do like a functional workout, like whatever, right? And then the kids are going to join, and then the kids are going to see their parents working out. And how beautiful is that? And just like, what a cool kind of community thing. And then my worry for you is that that's going to grow and get to the point where it's going to be so big that you're going to need like other trainers to help facilitate it. But I love that kind of stuff. I think
That'd be a good problem to have.
I think people should worry a lot more about what's inside their fence, metaphorically, before they start thinking about what's outside. And these community-driven initiatives, I mean, they're just, for no other reason, they're just like special. And they just feel good, and everybody that's a part of them feels good. And it's notable and it's remarkable because it's almost flies in the face of convention. It's just like, no, this person just like wanted to bring a little community together and isn't doing the social media thing. And isn't that cool? And she's so, you know, I like her so much. Lauren, let's start with just really, really quick who you are, who you help, and what are we talking about?
Sounds good. So I'm Lauren. I am a new coach. I just got my certifications in nutrition and my CPT in last fall, so not even a year into it. And I still work full time as a head of people / HR for a software company. So I have an end date with that. So this is like crunch time right now. And my client avatar is me. It's busy corporate working moms who have prioritized work and their family over themselves and their wellness. And I had my own journey the last 8 years, and I started my Instagram page solely based on that and just, you know, sharing my story, and realized a year ago that I wanted to do this for a living and got my certification.
So just to be clear, you started your Instagram page before you were a coach, even, just kind of like sharing what you were doing. Is that right?
Exactly. So all my like original organic growth was from pre becoming a coach.
Cool.
And since then, I've been gaining and losing followers because now that this is all I talk about, a lot of those people aren't like, they don't need to be here anymore. So,
right. But I noticed, you know, because one of the things that I always ask, of course, is what's like, especially if we're talking about content, which I think we're talking about with you, is what's like a really good post, a really good example of something that worked well with you. And you have a fantastic one that I want to share, but, I'm going to swing the bike back to you and kind of keep going with, what do you really want to cover today?
Is this a fluke that things are going well for me? How do I really make this happen and continue to happen? Because I feel like I'm on a good trajectory right now, but I just get really nervous that I've just been lucky and that it's, you know, my favorite followers who like loved me that signed on. And now is that going to dry up?
Right. Basically, are they all going to figure me out? They're all looking at me. Oh my God, I'm a fraud. when is this going to end, which is this existential crisis that we all have. I feel that every single day of my life, you know, oh my God, if this one thing happens, what, it's all over. Like I'm going to have to get a real job. And so in your case, you're going to have to go back to a real job. I think, I mean, first and foremost, what I want to really hit on, because I think it's a big part of your story, is that so much of how you've had success is because you've told your story as you, and it's been so personal to you. And even just this one post, let me pop this open. This was your pre-launch freebie. So I'm going to share it, and I'll share my screen if that's cool with everybody. Where are we at? Okay. Here, can everybody see my screen? Oops. What did I just do? There we go. Okay. So your pre-launch freebie here did really, really well. And I mean, it's just very dialed in. Like, it's a good picture of you. It's like a real picture of you. It's not a fake picture of you. It's very, very clear on what it is. But the thing that I want to really hit on with this is that when you're doing freebies, and you did a good job with this one, whether on purpose or by accident, I don't know. I mean, I didn't coach you through this, so I won't take credit for it, but you did a very good job with this, is that I just want to make sure if it's muted. Okay. When you, Zoom, it's impossible. When you're doing a freebie, a big mistake that a lot of people make is they try to do too much with that freebie, as opposed to just saying, what's one easy thing that I can give to somebody that's going to allow them to take one step forward today or improve in some measurable way? And when you're talking about nutrition, the easiest thing you could ever do is basically just help them get a little bit more protein in their diet. And that's what you've done here, which is brilliant. You show the thing as well, which is also really smart. I mean, a lot of the time people are like, hey, I have this ebook or I have this thing, and then they don't show it. Like, it's a digital download. Is that right?
Yeah. So I still haven't automated everything. So I sent it to them. I sent it over to them as a PDF.
Right. But it's a PDF. But yeah. You printed it and you're showing it printed in the photo, which is so smart. So talk to me about what led to you doing this.
Well, one of the biggest challenges most of my clients face is figuring out protein and like a lot of typical women under eating on protein.
How did you figure that out?
Well, I like forever before I even was a coach would just post like random stuff. And I always post, I eat the same breakfast every day. And so I'd post like my yogurt bowl and everyone's always asking like, what is that? What are you eating? I say, I want to know. And this one got, I'm not shocked, surprised, but everybody won't always, anytime you post anything food related, people want the recipe. They want to know like more about it. They think that's like the answer, you know, I'm just going to eat what she eats, even though I'm very careful not to do like what I eat in a day type posts or things like that. I just knew it was a challenge for them. It was used to be a challenge for me too. So, and yeah, I got a lot of responses. I will say a lot of them, you know, didn't necessarily end up resulting in conversions to calls. But some of them did, actually, but not.
No, but they won't. I mean, look, I put out a call for a free course, for a free Instagram, or for a free online training course, not Instagram course. And I did it through a story, and we had over 1,000 responses. And I had Alina and her husband, actually, who helped me out, responded to every single person with the link. And they responded as them. They said, hey, this is Alina, I'm helping John out, whatever, right? Like, they didn't pretend it was me, and sent all of them a link. There was like 300 opt-ins for the course, right? And we've sold now from that, because the free course, of course, leads into the Online Trainer Academy. There was definitely an uptick in sales, but it's a conversion game. So for sure. I mean, if you get 100 people in, you're going to convert probably 3-5% realistically into clients right then. But holy crap. Then these folks are going to be making your breakfast in the morning, and they're going to be thinking of you, and now you're going to be top of mind. And so I think you did this beautifully. Like, I got nothing. Like, you nailed this. And you nailed this because
because you listen to your people so well. And so I don't have a lot of like sage advice for you other than the biggest mistake that people make that I made in my career is that when they started having some success, they kind of changed what they were doing to get to that point. You know your audience really well because it's you. You listen to them. You also listen to the feedback of, hey, when I'm posting food stuff, everybody asks me for the recipe. And you just kind of followed along there. And so I would say keep doing that. And then can you use it and maybe create like a contest or a challenge out of it? So you can do it as like a pre-launch freebie, right? Which is totally cool. But you could promote that book once every few weeks. I mean, you know it works. And so could you promote that book once every few weeks? And could you do it as some sort of a contest where, hey, for this next month, for these next 28 days is the Add More Protein at Breakfast Challenge. In order to enter the challenge, get this recipe book and tag me in a post or a picture or a story whenever you make a recipe from this book. And at the end of the 28 days, I'm going to choose somebody who did it to win 3 months of my signature coaching program, whatever the name is, which, by the way, costs this amount of money or valued at this amount of money, you know, $1,500, $2,000 worth of coaching from me. And you just rinse and repeat that.
I love that. That's such a good idea.
Like, just rinse and repeat that. Like, yeah. Like you have something that works. You don't need anything else. Yeah. You just need to do more of what works and figure out over time how to better and better leverage this thing. The worst mistake that a lot of folks make is they have something that works and they're like, cool, that worked. Okay, on to something else. It's like, nah, man. You got it. Like create a challenge around that book, Protein at Breakfast. You could become like, I don't know, the Protein at Breakfast girl. You could, woman, you could create this whole like momentum around that, this whole challenge around that. I mean, think about what this could even turn into as it grows, as more people are posting pictures of it. Well, folks are coming back to you. Put that link in your bio. Like, get more protein at breakfast. Do you were DMing them the PDF, right?
Yeah.
Do you have it as like an email thing?
Well, I could set it up, and I have a like MailChimp thing. I just need to get better at like setting up so that it's actually something they just click on. So I could totally do that, and I would do that before. It was a lot. That's a great idea. I was thinking, because when I saw Madison talking a lot about her challenge, you know, and I was like, oh, what kind of challenge could I ever do, or what would that look like? I love how you just kind of walked through that idea of the workflow of how, what that could look like. And that's a great, I mean, I think you get like, you know, working with one person isn't a lot to take on, right? Like for the cost of what it would be, but that number of people get excited about it, I think would work really well. Also, what you said resonates so much, because a couple of months ago, like before I joined OTM, I literally was just, I said this when I was talking on my, like on my call for OTM, it was like throwing spaghetti at the wall. Like I was just trying everything. And you see a lot of coaches posting like exercise demos, you know? And so I did that for a while. Oh my gosh, they were getting nothing. It was getting nothing. And my coach, who I still, you know, work with, she gets thousands of likes on hers, but that's what works for her. And so I stopped doing it. And now I still do it in my stories sometimes, just like form cues and things like that. Sure. But I don't. Yeah. So you're right. Like once you find what works for you, that's really helpful advice. Thank you.